Intergalactic planet every planet every intergalactic.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, hour number two of the big show. It's The Usual Suspects on a Monday. Barry, Nick, and Joel in studio. And, of course, amongst other things, kicking around topics and getting you in on the conversation. With that said, there's always time to check the text messages and the tweets during the breaks. And, my friend, you have seen a few things.
Yeah, somebody wanted to know, you just mentioned Justin Reed for Defensive Rookie of the Year. What are your thoughts about the linebacker from Dallas? He's been playing very well in Lee's absence. Yeah, Leighton Vander Esch is a guy I think that is a legitimate contender. I see what you're saying, and I kind of disagreed with you on Reed. I think he's been worthy of all the praise he's getting. But when you look at guys like Bradley Chubb is out there, Derwin James, the kid Leonard from Indy.
Colts. Yep.
Yeah, I mean, and then you've got...
He was the leader in the clubhouse, but now he's hurt.
And then you got Vander Esch and Denzel Ward. I mean, there's a lot of guys, I think, ahead of Reed, but it's not like Reed is just pedestrian. But those guys and the years that they're having...
You're the numbers guy. Uh-huh. And so I looked at the numbers, and you look at it across the board, and in the case of Derwin James, it's four less games started. In the case of Ward, it's three less games started. He has comparable numbers across the board with those guys. Same amount of picks, same amount of tackles for loss. Lots of things that where you wouldn't have thought he would be in the conversation early on. But now when you look at the body of work and how some of those guys are slowing down too and injuries are taking
effect. Yeah, guys like Leonard are coming back to the pack. But Vander Esch, his stock is
no
really
doubt.
Rising.
He's on the rise. Yeah. And especially with the fact that he's had national TV games where he has been dominant on defense. Mm-hmm. Take that Texans game and then take the game against the Saints and realize that kid is definitely going to get a lot of love from the media because he's making headway on national TV, which helps.
Yeah, and how many starts does Reed have? Because my understanding,
eight.
I don't think he was starting at the beginning, right?
He has 8 of
12.
He
has 8, okay.
Yep. He has 8 of 12. Ward has 11 of 12. James has 12 of 12.
And one of the things, I think, to be honest, is Reed's probably not getting those starts if they don't have the problems with injuries at the
Johnson
cornerback position.
And all those guys,
yeah.
Which went,
Johnson
you moved
and,
Kareem
and Colvin
there at safety, and then you moved him back to
right.
Corner.
So it's probably, you know, the Honey Badger and Kareem, and then Jonathan Joseph and Colvin and Kevin Johnson as your corners, and he's coming in. And I'm sure he's getting meaningful minutes. Don't get me
yeah,
wrong.
So the curse was a blessing,
right,
so to speak,
right,
because he was able to get on the field more, prove his worth,
really,
and now he's kicking ass.
Yeah, yeah, and he's a guy that you can look at now and say, okay, this cat can start. If Kareem Jackson's had this resurgence and you could trust him as a cornerback, maybe now you can trust Justin Reed at safety, and yep, you're better. You're better. So,
and I hope they keep the Honey Badger. Because, I mean, just
I love
the
his,
swagger he brings and his no-nonsense mentality on the field.
Although the throwing of the gloves was pretty stupid. It was pretty dumb. Did you see that?
I did not.
So he dropped. It's not like it hit him in between two hands where he was making the half circle. But he went up after an interception and he hit it with one hand and it fell down. And he looked at his hands like he should have had it. He was never going to catch the ball. So then he starts running off the field, tearing his gloves off, throwing them like he was blaming the gloves. It wasn't like serious, like he was being kind of funny about it. But at the same time, it was like, you were never going to catch that.
You don't know that,
never,
because when once you're a glory boy, you can do things that just the common folk can't do.
Okay. And then somebody said TMZ 2, NFL 0.
Don't disagree with that.
They said maybe the NFL should hire TMZ when they're looking into situations, because apparently TMZ can get a hold of video, Kareem Hunt. But nope, the NFL for some reason just can't seem to find it. I don't know. We'll get to that.
Yeah, we'll get to that eventually, because yeah, I was going to say, the one thing that people were tweeting like crazy about that, and they seemed to be perplexed that, well, let's see, the authorities wouldn't give the video up, and the NFL couldn't get it. But then all of a sudden it surfaced. I wonder if money had anything to do with that.
You think?
shocker. And with a business NFL that has all the money in the world flowing around, you don't think something this important, even if you had to pay a little bit, it would be worth paying it, because then at least you could put it out there under your terms instead of seeing it on TMZ for the first time and realizing you haven't done anything.
Wait. You're really expecting the NFL to make rational and good decisions?
That's a good point.
Come on, let's just move to college
because they
football.
Do go through past they precedents when that. They make decisions. And it's been a lot. No.
Yeah, exactly. No. Do you think they got it right, the playoffs? Are you good with four? Are you good with OU in?
You know, here's I am and I'm not. Because I understand from a viewer's perspective, and look, a lot of this, whether they want to admit it publicly or not, is driven by the broadcast. No one wants to see a rematch game because it's already been played. And I get the fact that Georgia had their crack and they had a shot and they slipped away. But at the same time, if you ask me who are the four best teams in college football, I still think Georgia is one of those teams.
Well, then what's the rest of that shouldn't matter then. The whole point of the playoff system is to get the four best teams.
But it's not.
In college football. That's the bill of goods. I know. I get that. I'm being facetious here. Okay. They're selling us this bill of goods that the whole reason we did this and not the computers is because we can do the eye test and Well, you know what? The eye test should have told you that Georgia is probably one of the four best teams in football when you look at the fact that they were in control of that game for most of the game. I see the case for OU. I get it. They avenged their one loss, yep. So they righted that ship. They're a conference champion. Georgia's not even a conference champion. So I personally don't have a problem with it, but I do think Georgia, if Georgia and Oklahoma play, who am I taking? I'm taking Georgia. Mm-hmm. So I would want to see that in there. Now, the problem becomes is, yeah, you're going to get a rematch of Alabama-Georgia as a semifinal game that they just played last week. And you know what?
Here's the thing.
What do you do?
They're thinking about viewers, saying viewers don't want to see that. But if it turns out to be the same kind of game that we just saw, who wouldn't want to see that?
Yeah.
Because that's top talent playing at a very high level, giving you a competitive football game.
Exactly.
As opposed to Oklahoma's defense trying to stop a Clemson and getting just ramrodded off the field in the first half. And you go, boy, that was exciting.
Yeah.
So, no, and here's the other thing. When they started to delve deeper into all this, because I agree with you totally, they got the four teams right for right now based on what's happened and transpired, but I still don't think they got the four best teams. But when you look at it and you hear, well, who's on the committee? Well, it changes from year to year, but they had someone from Ohio State on the committee. They had someone from Oklahoma on the committee. So and those people are excluded from any discussion involving their team or making
the
case.
And they should be.
So, therefore, kind of like your Kirk Herbstreit.
Oh, hate it. Those things.
But because of that, they couldn't even plead their case, but they had to hear cases from like Alabama, Notre Dame, Clemson. We all know those three are slam dunks. It was that four spot where should have been a lot of dialogue back and forth. So some of the case
against Georgia is they didn't win their conference, and OU and Ohio State did. They're also a two-loss team. And I mean, that's why I say, I think I understand what the committee was thinking. They were thinking, one, number four, we have three teams to choose from. So first and foremost, conference champ. And then we'll look at record. And so OU and Ohio State have both of those. They're both one loss teams. Georgia's two loss. They both have won a conference championship. Georgia lost theirs. And in the case of Ohio State, they had a terrible loss to Purdue. An ugly loss. It was their only loss,
points.
But it was ugly. And that OU-Texas game both times was pretty competitive, and OU managed to right the wrong. They avenged that loss and proved that they can beat the team that they lost to.
Key.
And that's why I think at the end of the day, whatever other arguments you want to make, those factors are why OU's
in. Key. If you're Central Florida, you never get the opportunity to prove your case because you never get a chance to play Alabama, Clemson, Notre Dame type
talent.
Well,
they're going to get an opportunity to prove something
here's what I'm saying.
You saw who they're playing, right?
I know. But yeah, but what I'm saying is Georgia got their chance.
Yeah.
Georgia got a chance to do what Central Florida doesn't get a chance to do.
That's a good point.
To play the number one team in the country and make a statement. And you know what? For most of the game, they were making that statement. But part of being a team that's deserving of that Final Four ranking is closing the deal. Second year in a row, they couldn't close the deal because they had them. And it slipped through your grip. So from that perspective alone, you got a chance that a lot of teams don't get, and you didn't maximize it. That's on you.
And some people make the argument that Kirby Smart got outcoached in the second half in both games, And so he has to take a little bit of that blame.
That
a little
big
bit.
Punt was
a little bit. And after the game, he didn't seem very happy about it, but this is what he had to say.
Well, it boils down to one thing. Do you want the four best teams in or not? It's that simple. You know, they sat at home last year and got to go in the game while everybody else was beating each other up, and they had a good football team. Give that coach across the sideline a vote who he doesn't want to play. And it'll start with us. And I promise you he don't want to play us.
He's not wrong.
You're talking about Saban?
Yeah.
Yep.
He's not wrong.
I think Saban agreed. I think Saban said, I wouldn't want to play face.
But here's the other thing.
That's the SEC in him talking, though. He's going to take care of his SEC folk.
Okay.
After it was released, he put his tail between his legs and realized he agreed with it. He wasn't happy. Obviously, he always wants his program. But the interview they did with him that I saw, he was like, you know what?
LSU will play him. Oh, that's right. They lost to them,
yeah,
too.
They did.
I mean, look, you can say all that you want, but I get why Oklahoma's in. I get it. Are they the best team of the three left? I don't know because their defense is so suspect.
I was going to say, offensively, might be. But defensively,
Yeah, but I mean, they didn't hold Texas to 27, and that's not bad. That first game between the two, 48-45, that was a shootout. I feel like they got it right for the reasons that I stated earlier. But if you're asking me, is the four best teams in the playoffs? No.
That's what I said.
Know what? Don't lose to LSU, and you would have been in. That's the fact. If Georgia's a one-loss team and they lose to Bama in that kind of game that they just had, they're in.
And thank God Urban Meyer finally had some humility and admitted that the Purdue loss and everything else.
Sure.
They got where they exactly. And plus, that game wasn't a runaway by any means against Northwestern. So he accepted his fate, and that's nice to see for a change.
And somebody on the text line said Notre Dame had a cupcake schedule. Well, they played Michigan when they were 14. They played Stanford when they were 7, Virginia Tech when they were 24, and Syracuse when they were 12.
Wasn't Michigan State ranked when they played them, too?
No, they beat Pitt.
They weren't?
I don't believe so.
Okay.
I would have to go back. Well, I thought I had the whole thing around. And they beat Pitt, who played in the conference finals. Mm-hmm. Got their ass whooped.
And you're dead on spot, Ron, too. One of the things the committee absolutely will admit to is conference champions matter. Conference champions matter.
Yeah, Notre Dame didn't play Michigan State. That's why I couldn't find it.
This year. No. All right. Okay, so hey, we got callers. We see you, Kyle. We'll get to you next. Don't go anywhere. It's much more The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
To call into the HR&P listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, still hammering it through. Hour number two, 3-hour show. Having a fun. Hammering them! We want you to be a part of it. And we are here at The Usual Suspects, and you should be too. And if you are, tell a friend. HR&P listener line open for you, 713-780-3776. Call or text that number or hit us up on Twitter. We were talking college football playoffs and did they get it right before the break. And Kyle wants to get in here and talk a little college football with us. Kyle, welcome to the show.
Why will they not expand the playoff system? I know they went to 4 teams like it's going to make everybody happy. But any other division at the college level has a true playoff system. So why not go ahead and make an even 12 conferences, and then you send your champion to the playoff system, and then rank your either second place winners or however else to expand this thing and actually come down to a true playoff and have a true champion.
So I can tell you, I get what you're saying, Kyle, but
that's going to be a huge
Bill Hancock
topic.
Came out. Yeah, Bill Hancock came out and said specifically there has been no talk about a format change in the meeting of the commissioners, the presidents who manage the CFP, and there's no talk of expanding the playoffs at this time. The kind of conversation and dialogue that these three teams that were up for it, OU, Georgia, and Ohio State, generated is exactly what they wanted, and they got it, and they're happy with it, and they feel like they got the right four teams, whether the rest of the country believes that or not. But I'm with you. I would love to see a six-team playoff. You should have Alabama and Clemson deserve a bye for the way that they've played.
This is a big topic. And the thing is, you can't have
these. Why not?
People forget these are still student athletes. You can't have them playing into February and March. But at the same time, the point that everybody needs to take heed with and look at and look closely at is every other division of football has at least, I think, 10.
Yeah.
10 teams in the playoff. And no one can say in the last couple of years, with all the arguments with the BCS and otherwise, if you had 10 teams, if you took your top, whether you do it from the top 10, however you rank them, but if you took 10 teams, I think you could be as close as you've ever been in terms of undisputed, because there wouldn't be that many arguments.
Do you want Florida and Washington in the playoffs with three losses? Do you really want that?
I don't. I said 8 would have been the fair number. 8 would have been a fair number every year from year to year to make sure you got the 8 best qualified teams to play. But
To me, 6, because 8, you had Michigan, a 2-loss Michigan team who didn't even play in their conference, and then the 8th team was UCF.
But
so
again,
I kind of get that, talk about cupcake schedules. We were just talking about it off air. If you think Notre Dame's schedule was light, boy, you look at UCF's schedule. Other than Cincinnati, which was a decent win, and then they played Memphis, and Memphis put up 41 against them. That was light in the pants, that schedule. And you can, 25 in a row is great and all that. But they're not out there having to bang against teams in the Big 12 and the Big 10 and the SEC.
In Michigan's case, you say, well, they weren't in their own conference championship game. But at the same time, their two losses were to teams in the top 6. So you look at it and go, if your objective is to get the 6, 8, whatever number you're is, best teams, it's the same thing we were talking about with Georgia. I would want Georgia and Michigan, if we expanded it, in.
But all that means is they can lose to good teams. That doesn't mean that they are a good team. It just means they lose to good teams. You would rather have Michigan in than Ohio State.
They're still ranked. You look at Ohio State and go, yeah, okay. Well, they only had one loss, but it was to Purdue by 29 points.
But they played head-to-head. Ohio State beat Michigan head-to-head.
I get that, which is the same reason why Georgia's not in. But it's also the flip side of the argument where everybody still says Georgia should be in because of the fact that they're one of the four best talent-wise teams in the country.
I think 6, to me, once you start getting past the first 6, then you start – well, it's always going to be an issue of, well, once you go to 6, well, should we do 8 and add UCF or whatever? I think if you're happy with 4, I could see expanding to 6 and giving the first one and two buys, because then you're talking about what we've been sitting here debating for damn near 2 seconds now is of the three teams that were up for the final spot, which one was the best? And you could literally make a case for all of them.
All three, right. And here's the thing, too. But at least you can shut up the critics, too, or the people that are promoting UCF and saying they never get a fair shot. Then with 8, at least they get their shot. Prove your worth. Go ahead and do it, because, like we said, they don't get a chance on their regular schedule to play a team of the caliber of the top 3 or 4 teams or top 6 teams. But then you could shut everybody up and get it right.
I feel like, though, it's one of those things where, you know, if they expand it once, they're just – every team is going to have a case. Like, Washington even came out and said,
I saw that.
They just didn't like our conference.
Yeah, conference bias.
I'm sorry, but the Pac-12 sucked this year.
USC sucked. Absolutely UCLA sucked. That Stanford down.
And every year they think that this is going to be the year that they come back and become a good conference, and it just hasn't happened and every year.
Okay. No, and I mean, who's clamoring to see Washington take on the big boys and the rest of the ends? Nobody.
But here's the thing that's perplexing to me on the flip side of this argument.
And they lost 3 games.
We just got done saying,
and that's the conference champ.
When they were picking their fourth team, the broadcast, the game, the matchup, you know, the watchability factor. The NCAA is a cash cow in basketball because of March Madness.
Mm-hmm.
Why wouldn't you take on adding a few more games when you know what it's going to bring in and generate revenue-wise, ratings-wise, sales-wise, because of the fact everyone will watch, even if it is, like you said, Washington and Alabama or UCF or teams like that. They will watch, money will come in, and they will just add to their bank account as the NCAA football.
I mean, you're essentially adding, what, a week to the schedule?
Basically.
Would be what it is?
Especially if you do it your way. If you do 6 and you just have 2 teams with buys.
Absolutely. Or you do 8, even with 8,
it still works out. Because, it's 1 extra week, you're still down to 4, and then you go.
Yeah, it's 1 extra week, 1 extra game. And some of these teams that, you know, there's going to be an instance where one of the top six maybe not even played in their conference championship.
That's right.
It's possible. So unlikely, but still, I mean, you're talking about one extra game. If I'm the greedy NCAA and the schools, I'm like, hey,
I'm saying you
extra money.
How many more millions would you put into the NCAA pocket just by adding one more week, whether it be six teams or eight teams?
I think the part of the problem is we want parity in college football. I don't think NCAA wants parity. And I think the reason why you have those teams in the top four is because those programs bring the most money. And if you start expanding, and I'm not saying that they don't want to expand, but the potential possibility is these programs that are not as popular, they're going to start becoming popular because there's a possibility that they might beat a Georgia, a Notre Dame, an Alabama. And I don't know if NCAA wants that because you can't generate the revenue from a Central Florida like you can from an Alabama or a Georgia or a Notre Dame. And I think that's a part of the fear of them expanding because they don't want to risk. Just because you add two more teams, it doesn't necessarily mean more money.
It brings up a good point, and it's one thing that I've kind of always contended. So it's there's the Power Five conferences, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. You've got the SEC, the Big Ten, the Big 12, the Pac-12, and the ACC. And that's your Power Five conferences. And in this case, there would only be, if you took the top five, there would only be one conference represented twice. Well, it would be the Big 12. And then you would have the Independent and Notre Dame, right? Why not take the Big Five and then add a wild card, like a UCF, like somebody from a non-Big Five that is the highest ranked from the committee, and then make that the playoffs? You win your conference. You want to go to the playoffs? Win your conference. That's just how it goes. Win your conference and you're in. And then that stops that, because then there's no bitching about, well, we lost, but we're still better than them. Well, you know what? If you don't lose, then you're in. Period. And then you don't have to worry about Washington bitching about, well, we won our conference. Well, okay, then go in and get smoked by Bama, because that's what's going to happen.
And you're going to say, the SEC teams are going to say, well, we shouldn't be punished for having the most competitive, best conference in the country.
Okay, Georgia, then win your game and shut up.
And that goes back to my argument earlier.
Hold on to the win. I mean, I would love that. And I've pitched that in the past where I thought, why not have 16 playoff, but you have the Power Five represented by the conference champion in every conference, and then you have the one wild card, the hot Boise team of the year, or the UCF that's won 25 in a row, or what, you know, what the U of H if they're hot like they were a couple years ago. There's always going to be one of those teams worthy of giving them a shot.
I've always said eight simply because make everybody play the equal amount of games so people can't bitch about injuries and things like that. Yeah. And because at the top, you're still going to have teams with similar records. But overall, whether you do six or whether you do eight, I'm fine with expanding it.
I am too.
Just get it right. Just like we say in everything else, the main thing with replay and everything else in sports is just make sure you get it right. If you can get it right and avoid all the arguments and all of the people that can pick it apart.
Get it right. But then also just break up Alabama. I don't want to see them anymore. I hate them.
Imagine put to Alabama.
I hate Alabama.
They got the resources they got are better than most NFL teams. And
I hope Saban's sitting on. I hope Nick Saban gets caught. No, I don't hope anything. I hope he doesn't get fired. But I just hate seeing it. I just want some. You talk about parity. It would be nice to see some other teams.
Yeah, I'm with you. All right, hey, halftime. We're gonna take a break. We've got 90 in the books. 90 still to go on the big show. That means you can still be a part of it. Kyle, Jeremy, we see you. We're gonna get to that and a whole lot more as we continue with the second half of the show. 713-780-3776. Call, text, hit us on Twitter. Usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Stream us on your car Bluetooth with the ESPN 97.5 app.
You must do it.
Brought to you by Saltgrass Steakhouse. Mmm, steaks and Bluetooth. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, 90 in the books, 90 still to go in the big show. It's The Usual Suspects. It's the second half as we open up the third quarter, as we had been conversing about the college football playoffs. We've covered Texans,
damn you,
NFL.
Nick.
We're overdue for an on-air fight anyway. Yeah. Let's be real.
And a lot of other stuff. I'm looking at the board, and lo and behold,
we probably should get in order of.
Yes.
Kyle is no longer available. Okay?
Yeah.
I was just going to say, though, lo and behold, a usual suspect that I call BS every time I see some subject matter other than his favorite team. But we'll get to him eventually.
To it, yeah.
Yeah, it eventually will. Of course. Jeremy. Jeremy wants to get in here on this college football playoff expansion talk. What's up, Jeremy?
How's it going, guys?
What's up, man?
So I'm with Barry in the sense that I definitely think it should be expanded. I think 16 teams is too much. I say 18. You have five automatic bids for your five conference champions. You have a sixth automatic bid for your non-Power 5 highest-ranked conference champion, and then two at-large bids for the highest-ranked teams after that, and then you seed it accordingly to their ranking. Just wanted to get you guys' take on that.
I mean, it's pretty logical, Jeremy. Some might say that my thought of every conference champ plus an at-large bid is not enough because you exclude the Georgias of the world, right, who could make the case that they're better than Washington, they're better than Ohio State, they're better than UCF or whatever at-large would make it. So it's logical to say, all right, top five conference champs, or you know, all five Power 5 conference champs, an at-large bid for the best non-Power 5 school in the country as far as ranking, and then a couple of at-large. I'm not going to argue with you. If that was what the committee came out next week and said they were going to do, I'd actually be good with that.
Yeah, we've kicked this around for quite a while. You've said six all along. I've said eight all along. I think we're both okay with expanding it. But again, the bottom line is just get it right. The closer we can get, and there's never going to be a perfect system, but the closer we can get to getting it right so that we don't have the what-ifs and the UCFs declaring themselves national champions and all that other minutia, and you get closer than you've been in the past to get it right, that's the main objective.
I agree. Get it right. That's all I want.
I'm with you.
Get it right.
All right, so you want to call this one because we have two different calls. One, we don't know the topic, and the other one, we do, and we're calling BS on it.
Well, he's been holding, so let's get to Clarence. He wants to talk about the Texans. And Clarence, I swear to God, if you mention the Saints, we're hanging up on you. What's up, buddy?
Don't go calling BS. I actually do want to talk about Texas.
What you got?
But first, college football, they're never going to get it right. First, they had the computers. They never got it right. Now they got humans. They never got it right. Never going to be right. Someone's always going to complain about something. So no sense even talking about it because there's always going to be wrong in some way, form, or fashion.
Now, that's encouraging, Clarence. Thanks for that vote of sunshine. Go ahead.
Now, Texans played another decent game yesterday. Now, many would consider this a successful season because they were 4-12 last year and they turned it around. My first question is, well, a question then a statement. How far do you think they really can go in a playoff, and would you even consider that successful if they get to the second round? And then my statement is, the NFL really, really needs to do something about these refs. Sit them down, have a year-round symposium on what to call, what not to call, what you're seeing, or whatever. But something really needs to be done about this.
Thanks for the call, Clarence. We appreciate you, man.
I do agree. The refereeing has been atrocious the last couple of weeks, for sure.
We've been talking about this in the past with the NBA and breaking down it, but it's the NFL's turn, and it is time for something. We talk about getting it right, if that's the main objective. Boy, last night was a glaring example. You don't want anybody to lose their job, and I think the guys on the national broadcast were even careful about that, but they said one ref lost his job this year because it was so egregious. But last night, if whatever they saw in that first Pittsburgh game was egregious, if what you saw last night wasn't egregious, then you don't know football. Yeah. That was awful.
Yeah, so did the Texans. I mean, the Texans got away with a couple bad calls too, like that stupid catched in fumble call, which I have no idea he called it a catch. I don't know how he got to that call, but it's in almost every single game.
It's been pretty poor.
Is it's been getting worse.
Yeah.
Yeah, that really makes it bad.
So he asked about his question was, what's
a successful season?
Is it making the playoffs? I would tend to tell you that a team that starts 0-3, they were throwing out numbers that, man, once you go 0-3, it's rare for you to make the playoffs.
98 was the last time a team did it.
The fact that they would make the playoffs, to me, after that start, I would say it's a successful season. I think I got to go back and look, but I want to say I had them winning 9 or 10 games this year. So if they match that, I would feel like that's a successful season. I didn't even have them winning the division. I had them being a wild card, if I'm not mistaken. So yeah, if they're one of the four, you know, or division winners, then to me, it's a successful season. If they can get past the Ravens or the Chargers, depending on who they end up playing, if they're not the number two seed, if they're the number two seed in the AFC, I don't care what you say or how bad they get trucked by the Steelers or the Patriots. That's a successful season because no one thought this team would have the second best record or be sitting in the two seed in the AFC, period, end of story. But yeah, at this point, I think you're playing with house money starting 0-3.
I was going to say, if you're looking at the Rockets, and we remember that scenario because we played it over and over again. If you're the number one seed, if you're dominant all year, if you set a franchise record for wins, then nothing short of a conference championship berth is acceptable. And we even said, and you have to make it a long series. You have to be in the series, right? Totally agree with you, Barry. My thought was, if this was any other season, we're tired of 9-7s and division championships. But if you start 0-3 and everybody writes you off, and if you say you didn't, you're lying. Everybody writes you off, and you do what you've done this year. You set franchise records. You have the chance to set the longest winning streak for the league as a record for the year. Even if you get trucked in the second round, assuming you get a bye or you have a chance to get a bye for winning the division and everything like that, it's got to be a successful season because no one saw this coming and no one could have predicted they were going to do this well.
Yeah, there you go.
Nick?
I would as a Texans fan who wasn't sold on the Texans and now you've sold me on them, I'm not going to get mad if they get bounced in the first round, but I'd like to see them lose, win one playoff game and then possibly get bounced in the second round, only because I'm totally sold on this team now when I really wasn't, just from a fan perspective. But if they do get bounced in the first round, I'm not going to sit here and criticize Bill O'Brien and yell at the Texans, but I would like to see them to win one playoff game and make it competitive in a second. That's all I would like.
Now, if they get trucked a la Kansas City a couple years ago,
right?
If they come out and get rolled by the Ravens 40-3, I'm going to be pissed as a fan, and every fan will be pissed. And they have the right to be pissed because they would have laid another egg in the playoffs. But if they go out and, you know, they beat the Ravens or the Chargers and then they lose to the Patriots by a touchdown or 10 on the road or whatever, I'm not going to be upset with that at all. Would it be great to see them beat one of these teams? Absolutely. But the only way I'm going to be even upset at a playoff loss in any round is if they just get absolutely demolished. And it's possible. I mean, but here's the thing. Of the six teams right now that would be in the playoffs, Chiefs, Patriots, Steelers, Chargers, Ravens, and of course the Texans. So take them out of the mix. Who do you think that they just absolutely cannot beat? Of the Chiefs, Patriots, Steelers, Chargers, and Ravens.
Patriots first and foremost because they've proven it.
Yeah, I think there's the two teams that they just, if I had to bet everything I owned on a Texans win and I had to pick two teams that I didn't have to bet that on, I'm going with Chiefs and Patriots.
See, the only thing is, the only wild card in the Chiefs is the Steelers. Whole Kareem Hunt thing.
That's true. That's true. They've lost a weapon.
That makes them more vulnerable.
It's a good point. I still think and their defense sucks.
Yes,
it does. It absolutely sucks. And they'll make a team look better than they are offensively. But I think that I don't think they're better than the Steelers. I think they can beat the Steelers. The Steelers showed last night they can be beat. They're vulnerable. The 2 weeks in a row. Who did they lose to last week? Denver. And that they weren't in that game. I know that they had the goal line, but that was an ugly game.
Oh, no, they were in it. They blew chances to win it. Well, but that's the thing. The second week in a row, they've self-destructed
too. They can be beat.
Yeah. So, and here's the thing. The key thing in New England is you got to have home field.
I still think that,
because if you got to go to Foxborough in December,
yeah,
you're in trouble.
I still think the teams like the Chargers and the Steelers are probably better football teams, but maybe not playing better than the Texans, but are better football teams. But I just
We talked about parity in college
football.
Those
two teams, though. Chiefs
and
Patriots,
especially in the AFC,
are the ones that scare you.
You got a lot of parity. You got teams. Yeah. All the teams have holes. It's just how bad can you, how quickly can you plug them and stay afloat and cover those up with your strengths. And New England's got a lot of strengths. So, all right, we'll continue to roll on. Kyle, John, we see you. And, of course, you want to join the show, 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line. Call, text, hit us on Twitter, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, everybody. I know the holidays are upon us, but we know the temperatures are changing every single day. One day it's air conditioning. The next day you got the heater on. But more so than anything else, you're burning up your electric bill and you're getting high rates charged, whatever the big companies want to charge you. And you don't get the personalized kind of attention that you get from a company that's Houston-based like Infuse Energy. I ask you, if you're having issues with your anything with your energy, that you check out Infuse Energy. Give them a call. See if what they can do for you. If you're happy with where you're at or you don't think that they can do what you already are getting, then fine. But at least you gave them a try because they're like a trusted friend. They're never going to screw you over or try to obscure you or trick you. They're going to be honest and upfront with you. They're going to let you know how they can help you. They can do it for your business. They can do it for your family. They just want to ask you simple questions like, when do you use energy the most? When you use it the least? Are you a weekends and nights person or during the day you use a lot of energy? And they'll go from there and try and tailor make a program that personalizes your energy usage to benefit you with lower rates and a lower bill. They did it for me. They can do it for you, too. I switched about a year ago. They've knocked thousands off my bill over a 12-month period of time because of the fact that I took the time to talk, they took the time to listen, and they did a program for me. It's affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back, 100% green energy at your fingertips. They are going to take care of you. Whether you go to InfuseEnergy.com or better yet, give them a call, 844-INFUSE2, 844-463-8732. They are here to help. Mention ESPN 97.5, $25 bill credit right off the top, and that's a great way to start a conversation. I'm telling you, I believe in them because they've done it for me. They can do it for you, too. Infuse energy into your life. All right, my friend. We've had some plenty of dialogue going on between text messages and others, everybody giving their suggestions for the college football playoff. You've said six. I've said eight. We've done this in the past.
And somebody, and every time I say six, somebody has to text or tweet or, hey, dummy, that's an odd number. No, you missed the point where I say one and two would get a bye.
Mm-hmm. Dummy.
So four, five.
Dumbass.
Yeah, 3, 4, 5, and 6 play week one of the playoffs.
Dickweed.
The two winners
thanks,
play
Fred.
The two byes. It's just like NFL playoffs. I mean, when you're trying to figure out a conference champion in the NFL, it's six teams. And teams one and two get a first round bye. Teams 3 and 4 have to play the two wild cards. It would be the same exact setup. I don't know why that's so hard for people to grasp every time I say six teams. That doesn't work. All right, Mr. Math.
Yeah, you dip. I'm just playing.
Nah, they weren't even that aggressive. I think they were just saying, hey, Barry. They weren't even that aggressive. I just don't understand
why you have to start with a slam.
It's not like me, I know, but huh?
Just give your opinion, but don't start look, dumbass.
I love that. That's always the best. Somebody texted and said, if UCF beats a high-powered Georgia or Michigan in a bowl game and go undefeated next year, does the BCS finally put them in? What do y'all think? It would be 3 years in a row. Well, first of all, they're not playing Georgia or Michigan. They're playing LSU. Mm-hmm. That's the UCF bowl game. So I don't know if you want to call LSU high-powered. It is another SEC team. They beat Auburn last year in the bowl game. So if they beat a second-tier SEC team, does that make them one of the best teams in the country? I don't think so. I mean, if they go undefeated again, okay. If you were to call here bitching and complaining next year, the UCF has won, 36 in a row, including or plus bowl games, and they beat LSU and the likes of Auburn and what other cupcakes they have that you want to say, well, they were 24 at the time. I certainly would have your back on that argument. 36 in a row is pretty damn difficult.
A year from now. Teddy, you're on the call. Oh, you want to talk to Barry? Yeah, Barry, you dumbass.
Yeah. Told you they'd win 36 in a row. Yeah, you called it. So, yeah, but I
and it's going to be even tougher for UCF with their quarterback out, too.
Yes.
That was a big loss.
Yes.
So they found a way to dig deep and they came back and beat Memphis. They were losing that entire first half.
Memphis was gashing them on the ground.
They're
going to
miss their quarterback a lot, Mackenzie Milton. So We'll see how that all plays out, because that's going to make it more interesting. But look, we both agreed. I think, Nick, you're with us too. Just get it right. It doesn't matter. I don't care how many teams they do, as long as they get it right. You look at Division I AA. You look at all the different – some of them have like almost a small version of March Madness going on, but they get it right. You don't have teams going, I got screwed. I didn't get in the – I couldn't get in the dance. I wasn't allowed. Well, you don't have any of that. You can't bitch because you had a chance. You played a game, if not more. If you lose, you're out. But you know what? You had a chance.
Somebody texted and said, screw college playoffs. The Chargers are 9-3 and no one says bleep. Not true. I have been pounding the Chargers bandwagon for weeks now, saying, hey, I think this is the team that everybody's forgetting about. I keep mentioning them every week. They keep winning. They just keep pulling it out. They had that loss. They've had a couple of stinkers, but that's been their kicking the issues. It's so weird, by the way, to see a team continue to struggle with kicking.
I was just
and then to
say,
have a game like last night.
Until you saw or heard that there was a flag on the field, the minute that was kicked, I was like, oh, that is so... We're talking about what is so Houston to do?
Chargers going to
so
Chargers.
Chargers to do would be to miss that thing, that little chip shot last night, if not for the offsides penalty. And here's the other thing. You have all those cameras on Sunday Night Football. The first penalty, the one on Hayden, they never showed you an angle where he was offsides. It was close because they showed you Hayden and his move, but they didn't show you where the ball was and when it was centered. The other two, they were able to show you right down the line. It was obvious. But I was real interested in how close that first call was.
I thought he was offsides. You had nothing definitive that could prove it. You had to really study the line and see where the ball was.
Oh, yeah.
And then kind of gauge.
And that's why I said they didn't give that to you with the first one.
No.
But Barry, you dumbass. I also thought that the Chargers offensive line had a legal procedure on Rivers' first touchdown and they didn't call it.
That probably so. Yeah. That's how it
goes.
Those
referees suck.
They do.
I'm just recapping the second hour for you guys.
So I'm looking at the Chargers schedule, though. When you figure that they started 1-2, and guess what their two losses were? Chiefs and Rams.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Everybody else they've beat except the Broncos. That was an ugly loss, 23-22. Again, they can make their kicks.
Field goal kicker, yeah.
They can make their kicks. This is a 10-2 football team. They just happen to be in a division with the Chiefs, and that's not easy to.
And we laugh about the kickers, but the fact of the matter is, their kickers are way better. They solved that problem. Their defense, which has always been a laughing stock, is even better. Derwin James has been great, but Bosa got back midseason, and he's kicking ass.
Bosa back, yeah.
Yeah.
So. It's a good football team. They definitely, it's one of those teams where if you're the Texans and they happen to either slip or something happens, and like I can tell you, I have a feeling that the Steelers are not looking forward to having to face the Chargers in the playoffs again after you see that. So,
and again, that's where home field really pays a big dividend too, because if you make them play in cold weather, because last night was unseasonably warm in Pittsburgh, but if you can get them to play in cold weather, that's a different football team. But yeah, on a neutral ground or warm
and
weather.
And the travel, West Coast to East Coast in the playoffs.
Yep.
I mean, that's it now, but.
That's why these last 4 weeks are so hyper important for every team fighting for playoff spot.
How cool is that, though? Right now, your first round playoff game, you get a rematch of last night's Steelers-Chargers game. That wouldn't suck.
Nope, wouldn't suck at all. All right, two in the books, 1 hour to go. Still got an hour to go to the big show. Don't go anywhere. The Sports Mappers join us next on The Usual Suspects.
So, you want to go out tonight but don't know where to go? Easy fix. Head over to culturemap.com for the latest social happenings going on in the city.